Good morning and welcome to our services today at Heritage Baptist Church. Of course, as you well know, this is National Day here in Singapore. Certainly we want to, during this day, pause to give thanks to God for allowing us to live in a land of prosperity, a land of freedom. Also, we need to be careful that we remember to pray for those who are in authority over us, that God would bless them with wisdom and direction. And the rules and the laws and the decisions that are made in the upper echelons of the government, that the things that they do might be things that would be pleasing and honoring in order that God's blessings might continue to be upon us. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. I came across an interesting quote by a Char Miller, the professor of environmental analysis and history at the Pomona College in Claremont, California. The statement that they made goes like this. It said, "Believing that human beings can and must get the upper hand on nature is beyond reason." Now, if you have ever been caught in the middle of a dangerous storm, you will understand the truth of that statement. No matter what kind of precautions and no matter what kind of preparations we may make, when the powerful forces of nature are turned loose, mankind is always humbled. Mankind is humbled and we're forced to acknowledge just how weak and how small that we really are. And that's exactly what we're going to see in the text that we're going to be dealing with today as we continue our series entitled Hard Cases Solved. I want us to notice how that we're going to see the Lord Jesus dealing with the case of a dangerous storm. As we begin our study, notice with me in Mark chapter 4 and in verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables." And so the Lord Jesus, sitting in the boat, the people are on the shore, and he begins to teach them using parables to illustrate the great biblical truths that they needed to understand. But then if you skip down to verse number 35, you find the Bible says that the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." While his disciples sent the multitudes away, as we find in chapter 4 and verse number 36, as the disciples were sending the multitudes away, the Lord Jesus stayed in that same boat that had served as his pulpit. And it was most probably during that time that the Lord Jesus, being weary from a full day of teaching, a full day of preaching, that the Lord Jesus took a pillow, laid down in the hinder part of the ship, Mark chapter 4, verse 38 tells us, and he went to sleep. He went to sleep. Now, since the disciples already knew where they were supposed to go, he had already told them that they're to go to the other side. Since they already knew their destination, they did not bother to awaken the Lord Jesus. After sending the multitude away, they simply cast off and began the journey. And as the night grew dark, they were found rowing across the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this was not something new for these disciples. As fishermen, they had spent many nights on the Sea of Galilee. But this night was a different kind of a night. This night was different because as they rowed for the other side, they're suddenly caught in a dangerous storm. In fact, the storm was such that those experienced fishermen who had seen many storms before, but this time they are convinced that they are in a hopeless situation. In other words, they're going to die. this is going to not end well. But as soon as we come to our text, there are a couple of things that I want us to notice, and that is that no matter how severe the storm may be, it is never a hopeless case when the Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat. And so I want us to notice a couple of things together. Notice, first of all, number one, the storm's description. The storm's description. As we consider the description that we find in the Bible about this very dangerous storm that the disciples found themselves in, I want you to notice, first of all, letter A, that it was a storm that was unexpected. It was unexpected. When the disciples started their journey, the sea had been calm. When they started their journey, they fully expected the sea was going to stay calm and that it would be smooth sailing all the way across. But then as they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says in Mark 4 and verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. Now, the truth of the matter is, storms like this are actually common on the Sea of Galilee. If you study the topography of the Sea of Galilee, you find that it's 13 miles long, it's 7 miles across, it's 150 feet or 46 meters deep, and the shoreline is actually 207 meters below sea level. And around that sea, you also notice that the hills of Galilee reach to nearly 1,400 feet above sea level. And of course, those hills are known as not only the hills of Galilee, but then on the other side, there are the mountains of the Golan Heights, and which in the Bible is referred to as Decapolis. And those mountains reach to over 2,500 feet. And so storms are likely on the Sea of Galilee. As the winds blow across those mountains, that cool air blows over and the warm air that covers the sea and those things mix and it creates great havoc on the waters. In fact, the downdraft on that lake can stir up instantly waves that are as much as 6 meters high. A dangerous, dangerous situation. But the point is, storms like that normally do not come at night. They normally do not come at night. And so as we said a moment ago, the disciples, they're not expecting a storm. They're not expecting a storm. But the storm came anyway. It came anyway. And it was a great storm. A storm of extraordinary ferocity. Now, all of us in our lives, if we stop and think about it, we've experienced this same kind of thing before, have we not? Life is going great. Everything is smooth. Everything is going well as scheduled in our lives. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, there comes a howling storm of trouble that we never expected. We didn't see it coming. It came unexpectedly. So the storm, I want you to notice, first of all, it was unexpected, but then also notice letter B, that it was unrelenting. It was an unrelenting storm. The Bible tells us in verse number 37 that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I want you to notice the Bible makes it very clear that these waves did not just beat against the ship. These waves were actually breaking over the bow and falling into their ship so that now it's full of water. Now we all understand that when a ship is in the water, that's no big problem. Ships are actually designed to be in water. But when the water gets inside the ship, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a big problem. And so therefore the disciples are terrified. And in verse 38 we find they come to the Lord and their cry is, "We perish." The phrase literally means we are being destroyed. We are being destroyed. Certainly we all have storms in our lives that come without warning. There are storms of suffering when a painful sickness comes to visit with us. There are the storms of sorrow with the loss of a loved one or the loss of a dear friend. And there's the storm of sin. You see, when we allow sin to reign in our lives, it always begins with fair breezes. It always sounds like a very reasonable, logical thing that we ought to be doing. It seems like everything is going to go well, and yet the sad fact is, when sin begins to rule and reign in our life, it soon turns to a howling gale that takes control of us and fills our hearts with misery and with shame and with regret. The storm was unexpected. It was unrelenting. Then I want you to notice a third thing, and that is this. It was unusual. It was unusual. And certainly, this may have been a natural storm. It may have been a natural storm. However, as we said before, this type of storm, very seldom was it seen at night. Very seldom was it seen at night. And so, therefore, my personal opinion, and you don't have to agree with this. You can be wrong if you want to. But my personal opinion is that this storm actually was of supernatural origin. It was of a supernatural origin. It may have been a storm sent by God to teach the disciples to trust the Lord Jesus more. It may have been a storm that God allowed to come from the hand of Satan, another one of his attempts to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ in order to keep Him from going to the cross of Calvary. But we have to be honest and acknowledge that the Bible does not reveal the source of the storm, but there was something about this storm that was most unusual. That's the storm's description. But then I want you to notice number two. I want you to notice the storm's realm. The storm's realm. And as we consider the realm of this storm, I want you to notice that there were two areas in which this storm was seen bringing a great threat to those who were caught in the middle of it. I want you to notice the realm of the storm is seen, first of all, in the fact, letter A, that it threatened their lives. It threatened their lives. Again, this storm, this was not a figment of their imagination. This was not just a bad dream that they were having. This was a real storm that was filled with real dangers that presented a real threat to their lives. But the greatest danger the disciples faced that night was not from the winds. The greatest threat they faced that night was not from the waves that battered their boat. The real danger of that storm that was threatening their lives was seen in the fact that it also, letter B, it threatened their faith. It threatened their faith. Remember, the Lord Jesus had gone to sleep. He's in the back of the boat. He's sound asleep there. And in verse number 38, when the disciples realize this storm is something like they haven't ever seen before, they awake Him, the Bible says in verse 38. They awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? These were the same men who had seen the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ on many occasions. These are the same men who have seen the Lord Jesus performing acts of kindness and acts of goodness time after time after time. And they had seen the Lord Jesus as He would face and conquer all kinds of hopeless situations for so many different people. But you know, when it's you who are caught in the storm and not somebody else, when it is us who are caught in the storm, that changes things, doesn't it? You see, it's very easy to have a great faith in God and that understanding and believing that He can meet the need of somebody else. But when the storm begins to blow in our own life, and when we are the ones who are facing the time of trouble and the time of danger, many times it causes our faith to be shaken. Many times we begin to doubt that God even takes notice of our situation. That God is even paying any attention to the pain that we are feeling, the sorrow that we are going through. And we begin to doubt that God even really cares for us. And sometimes we even begin to question His love for us. But I want you to remember it was the Lord Jesus who had sent them out into the sea in the first place. Remember that? It was the Lord Jesus who had said to His disciples back in verse 35, "Let us pass over to the other side." But their fear was that the Lord Jesus had actually put them in a position that was not going to end well. That the Lord Jesus had actually put them in a place where they're all going to die. They're all going to die. I want you to note that someone has well said, the Lord Jesus did not save us just to abandon us when things get tough. He's absolutely committed to us, and He will never leave us or forsake us. The storm's description, the storm's realm. But then I want you to notice number three, the storm's purpose. We understand that in the life of a child of God, nothing ever happens by accident. Everything happens according to God's purpose. And there was a purpose for God sending the storm or for God allowing the storm. And we need to understand that there are all types of storms that we face in our lives. Most of them can be filed under three headings. First of all, there are storms of correction. Storms of correction. In other words, these are the storms that God will send into our lives in order that we might be turned back to Him when we have wandered away. When we have turned away from the path of righteousness, it is these storms of correction that God allows to come to bring us back into the right path. Storms of correction. And then also there are storms of perfection. Storms of perfection. In other words, these are storms that God may use and God may allow in order that we might become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the idea the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, verse 29. Storms of perfection. But then there's also what we might call number three, storms of instruction. These are the storms that God uses in our lives in order that He might instruct us, in order that He might teach us more about Himself, so that we might come to know Him better. And when we know Him better, we're going to love Him better, and we're going to serve Him more faithfully. Well, this storm that the disciples are now finding themselves caught in the middle of, this was a storm of instruction. In other words, it was a storm that was designed by God to teach those disciples something about the Lord Jesus Christ that they had never seen before. And so there's a couple of things I want us to notice here that these disciples learned. They were instructed in two areas specifically. First of all, letter A, they learned about His character. They learned about His character. You can imagine the scene as those fearful disciples see the Lord Jesus. He is sleeping there and they wake Him up, and some would say, well, yeah, He's sleeping. He's just a man. And yes, that was true. He was 100% man. But He was 100% God when He stood up in verse number 39, when He arose and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. After seeing that amazing display of omnipotence, the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 41 that those disciples, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Isn't it interesting? One moment they were fearing the sea. They were fearing the storm that they were facing. But when they see the power of God, now their fear of God has grown much. Now they are fearing God as they should. What a wonderful Savior they have seen. The disciples have learned that He is truly the Lord. He is the Master. He is the ruler over all things. You remember, this is the same one of whom the psalmist spake in Psalm 33 and verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." When you go out at night and you look up and you see the multitude of stars, the moon, you look at the pictures taken from outer space of all the galaxies that are there, just remember this. All of those are in existence because they were spoken into existence by the power of His Word. He spoke and they came to be. In fact, that's exactly what we find if you stay in Psalm 33. Look down at verse number 9. It says, "For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And so it is no wonder, that when the Lord Jesus stood and said to the storm and to the waves and to the winds, "Peace, be still," every uncontrollable force of nature immediately fell into complete submission to His will. They obeyed. They obeyed immediately. The storm that had so terrified the disciples with the threat of a hopeless outcome posed no problem at all for the Creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the storms that you may be facing in your life today, they also pose no problem for the Savior. They pose no problem for Him. He can silence your storm with a word. Just a spoken word. He can bring peace to your soul. He can calm the fears that you have, if He so desires. Or He may allow. He may allow the storm to continue to rage in your life. But when He does that, you can rest assured that He is perfectly able to protect you and to keep you, even in the midst of that storm. Great illustration. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There in Daniel chapter 3, they were in the fiery furnace. They were in a time of great trial, great testing. And yet God preserved them. God brought them through that. God will bring you through your storm too. Remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6? Dangerous place to be in a lion's den. And yet God kept him safe, God preserved him, God brought him through it. And God will do the same for us. For He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. What God did for those great heroes of the Bible, God can and He will do for us. I guess that's why the hymn writer wrote the words to the song, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own." Those disciples, they faced that storm. And during the midst of that storm, they learned something about the character of their Savior. But not only did they learn about His character, I want you to notice this, letter B, they learned about His credibility. The Lord Jesus had said to them very clearly, Mark chapter 6 or chapter 4, verse 35. The Lord Jesus had said very clearly, "We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side." And in spite of the dangerous storm that threatened to destroy them along the way, the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 1, they came over unto the other side of the sea. You see, because of the storm they faced, those disciples learned that the Lord Jesus could be totally trusted. That He is just as good as His Word. That whatever it is that He has said, that's exactly what is going to take place. In other words, they learned the same lesson that Abraham had learned about God. It's recorded in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. No matter what storm may come into your life, God is still God. And He can be absolutely trusted. He can be completely trusted to faithfully do all that He has promised to do. As we sail the sea of life, you already know this, but as you sail the sea of life, you will face storms. You will face storms. And that's why we need to be sure that we have, in the little boat of our life, that we have the Lord Jesus with us. Having Him in our vessel makes all of the difference because those disciples had the Lord Jesus in their vessel. They were able to call to Him in their time of need, in their time of fear. They were able to call to Him. And after calling to Him, because He was in their vessel, they were able to see firsthand His mighty power working and moving on their behalf. And because He was in their vessel, they were able to experience the perfect, abiding peace of God as they never had before. The question I would close with this morning then is simply this. Is the Savior in your vessel? Is the Savior in your vessel? If not, then how do you weather the storms that come into your life? How do you survive the storms that come into your life? When the really hard, difficult times come and there's no one that you can call to for help and for salvation, how do you make it? How do you survive? If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never invited Him to come into your life, then I want to encourage you to do that today. It would be a great day to invite the Savior on board. If He is in your vessel, if you've trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, then oh, how we ought to worship Him for the faithfulness that He has shown to us through all of the storms that we have faced in our past, and how that we can rest with confidence that He will continue to faithfully prove Himself to us in the storms that are yet still in our future. The bottom line is simply this. Every frightening storm, regardless of how hopeless it may seem to be, it meets its match in the wonderful Savior that we know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the wonderful power of our Savior. How that when we face the storms of life, how that we can have assurance that He is as good as His Word, that He will do that which He has promised to do, and how that we can see His faithfulness demonstrated over and over again as He helps us and sustains us, encourages us during the times of frightening and dangerous storms. Lord, may we love You and may we serve You more faithfully as we stop to consider how faithful You have always been to us. Lord, for that one listening this morning who has never trusted in You as their Savior, pray that even today that they might humble themselves before You, that they might acknowledge their sin and their need of a Savior, and that they might invite Jesus Christ to come into their heart, to take up residence in their life, and to be for them exactly what He was for those disciples in that little boat many, many years ago. Lord, may Your will be done in each heart and in each life, we pray, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today, and trust that you'll join us again for the afternoon service. Pastor Ming Pai will be continuing our study together, and we're certainly looking forward to that. Until we meet again, may God bless you. Thank you.